My name is Bradley, and on behalf of everyone at CJSF, thank you to everyone who supported the station with a donation to our fund drive. You are truly radio's best friend.
Earth Riot Radio. I'm Reverend Billy here at the Earth Church in New York City. The question is, why are we killing the Earth if we are the Earth? The Earth is everywhere. We are made of the Earth, but everything is made of the Earth, isn't it? We love the Earth. We love ourselves. We hate the Earth. We hate ourselves. If I have a personality, then my personality is made of Earth materials. The Earth that was given to me if I am an artist and I am paid money to make the Earth beautiful, then I am the Earth making the Earth beautiful. If I'm a farmer and I put seeds in the Earth, then I am the Earth putting the Earth into the Earth. We're all dancing inside interactions with the Earth. We make circles out of the Earth. The Earth makes circles. The Earth makes Earth circles. The Earth makes Earth squares. You see, even ideas are made of the Earth. The Earth is going into the Earth, and birth is the Earth coming out of the Earth. Politics in which the Earth is being saved are made of the Earth. The Earth saves the Earth. That is what extinction is, and that is what is happening now. I am the Earth speaking to you, and you are the Earth listening. You are speaking to me, and I am listening. We are the Earth together, talking about the greatest change the Earth can go through, which is called, it's a bad name for it, extinction. As if we are the Earth giving up on the Earth, we think that extinction is mass death, but the Earth is mass life. Extinction is the wrong name, because extinction is how the Earth continues being alive, being the Earth. Let's you and I be on the right side of that naming. Let's be on the mass life side of what they call extinction. Earthalluja, let's get to work on this. Let's get to work on this. It's a real, what is it? It's a challenge. It's a language challenge. It's a focus challenge, a perspective challenge, a Donald Trump challenge. Where's the EPA? It's gone. Now it's just us, the Earth. We're all that's left. The Earth is what's left. Hello, Earth. All right, let's be radical Earthers together. Earth defending Earth together. Are you with me? Somebody out there, if you're in a field, if you're on a golf course, on a street, if you're inside a gymnasium, wherever you are, if you're listening to the radio right now, and this makes sense to you, shout out, Earthalluja!
Earthalluja!
Yeah. The very idea of protest is a little alien to anarchist philosophy. Anarchists more believe in the idea of direct action. Protest, you're kind of appealing to the powers that be to be nicer. We don't do that. We try to directly intervene. If there's something going on that we don't like, we put our bodies in front of the road. The classic definition of direct action, for example, is, you know, if there's a community that doesn't have drinking water because there's no well, you know, normal political action, you go to the governor and you sign a petition, or you could even blockade their house, but that still isn't direct action. Direct action is you go off and dig the well yourself and dare them to stop you. So in a way, anarchism is about acting as if you're already free. And I think that's, if you want to define anarchism, well, I guess you could have a short version and a long version. The short version is simple. Anarchism is democracy without the government. You know, most people love democracy. Most people don't like the government very much. If you keep one and take away the other, that's anarchism. Anarchism is direct democracy, would be another way to put that. I guess the longer version would be anarchism is a commitment to the idea that it would be possible to have a society based on principles of self-organization, voluntary association, and mutual aid.
I don't think... Okay, what I've noticed about the human species over my lifetime, yeah, Butler's words of wisdom, is that we do tend to go to the edge more often than we ought to. You know, we go to the edge and then we look and we realize, my God, that's a precipice. We could fall over, we could die, and we draw back. The problem is with something like global warming, you can't just draw back and make it okay. With nuclear war, you can. I mean, the Soviet Union decided not to exist any longer. So we're probably not going to have a nuclear war, at least not for a generation or two, until someone else decides that it might be a really fun thing to do. But with global warming, after you've spent over a century messing things up, by the time you decide to fix it, your grandchildren might see some results, but chances are you won't.
Turning and turning in the widening gyre, turning and turning in the widening gyre, things fall apart, of a center cannot hold. Oh, the falcon cannot hear, can't hear the falconer. Oh, the falcon cannot hear, can't hear the falconer. Things fall apart. Oh, the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned, is drowned, is drowned, is drowned.
Hello, welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Violent weather cost the world $2 trillion over the past decade, a report has found. as diplomats descend on the COP29 climate summit for a tense fight over finance in Azerbaijan. The analysis of 4,000 climate-related extreme weather events, from flash floods that wash away homes in an instant to slow-burning droughts that ruin farms over years, found economic damages hit $451 billion across the past 2 years alone. The figures reflect the full cost of extreme weather rather than the share scientists can attribute to climate breakdown. They come as world leaders argue over how much rich countries should pay to help poor countries clean up their economies, adapt to a hotter world, and deal with the damage done by increasingly violent weather. Tool use isn't unique to humans. Chimpanzees use sticks as tools. Dolphins, crows, and elephants are also known for their tool use abilities. Now, a report highlights elephants' remarkable skill in using a hose as a flexible shower head. As an unexpected bonus, researchers say they also have evidence that a fellow elephant knows how to turn the water off while others are showering, perhaps as a kind of prank. PFAS are in Miami's rainwater, the latest evidence that synthetic forever chemicals that have raised health concerns for people and wildlife hitch a ride on the water cycle, using the complex system to circulate over greater distances. For more than a year, researchers collected and analyzed 42 rainwater samples across three different sites in Miami-Dade County. While profiles of several PFAS matched back to local sources, others did not. According to the study published in Atmospheric Pollution Research, this suggests Earth's atmosphere acts as a pathway to transport these harmful chemicals far and wide, contributing to the worldwide pollution problem. Communities with more fracking wells had significantly higher rates of both preterm birth and low birth weights in newborns. Some fracking chemicals are known endocrine disruptors with effects on human development and reproduction. These chemicals have been found in water supplies near fracking sites, highlighting the risk of exposure for surrounding communities. The carbon footprint from private jet travel grew 46% between 2019 and 2023 and will keep rising unless the ultra-luxury industry is regulated. Private jets cater to just 256,000 people, about 0.003% of the world's adult population, meaning significantly higher emissions per passenger than commercial travel. Around two-thirds of the world's private jets are based in the U.S., and the average passenger has a personal net worth of $123 million. In 2023, considerable private jet traffic was associated with the Super Bowl, the World Economic Forum in Davos, and the COP28 climate conference in Dubai. Sweeping aside thick toxic scum, thousands of Hindu devotees ignored court warnings this week against bathing in the sacred but sewage-filled Yamuna River, a grim display of environmental degradation in India's capital. Thousands celebrated the festival of Chhath Puja for the Hindu sun god Surya, entering the polluted waters to pray as the evening rays set in the sky. A parliamentary report in February called the Yamuna more of a toxic waterway than a river, saying the foam clouds were formed from a potent chemical soup, including laundry detergent and phosphates from fertilizers. "Please understand you will fall sick," a high court order said. "We cannot allow you to go into the water," restricting ritual bathing on health grounds. But housewife Krishnawati Devi said she was not worried. "I believe the waters of the river are pure and blessed by the sun god himself," she said. "Nothing will happen to me. God will take care of everything." Many Hindu faithful ignored the order, with women wrapped in fine saris and heavy jewelry wading into the gray waters. The police department in Yamasi, South Carolina, has warned locals to keep their windows and doors secure after 43 rhesus monkeys escaped from a nearby research facility. The public was advised to avoid the area as the animals are known to be skittish. The monkeys are about the size of a cat. They are all females, weighing about 7 pounds. Authorities estimate 6,700 primates live on site. 26 primates escaped from the Yamasi facility in 2014, and an additional 19 got out in 2016. A team in Utah has found that bee deaths due to collisions with cars in the western parts of the U.S. may be in the tens of millions every day. Bee populations around the world are shrinking. It is currently believed the decline is due to a variety of factors, all based on human activity, from encroachment to pesticide use to global warming. The team in Utah suggests collisions with vehicles should be added to that list. Their work involved applying sticky paper to the bumpers of their vehicles and then driving them around Utah on 29 different trips over the years 2018 to 2021. After each trip, the dead bees stuck to their bumpers were removed, identified by genus, and counted. In all, the researchers drove more than 9,000 kilometers and found that every trip resulted in at least one dead bee. They then estimated the number of trips taken by the number of cars and the size of bumpers. When including other roads and highways in Utah and other nearby states in America's West, the estimates reached into the tens of millions and perhaps into the billions. It is thought the collision bee death could be greatly reduced if flowers were no longer planted on the medians. The radiation levels experienced by the frogs living in Chernobyl have not affected their age or their rate of aging. These two traits do not differ. In fact, between specimens captured in areas with high levels of radiation and those living in control areas without radiation, nor have differences been found in the levels of corticosterone, a hormone associated with the response to stress, depending on the radiation received by these amphibians. Almost four decades have passed since the accident at Reactor 4 of the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. During this time, radiation levels have dropped considerably in the areas initially affected. It is estimated that less than 10% of the radiation emitted in the accident remains, and some of the most dangerous isotopes, such as iodine, disappeared within a few months of the accident. Chernobyl has become one of the largest natural reserves in Europe. Bee colonies build symmetrical nests when they are placed on either side of a double-sided comb. The finding, published in Current Biology, extends examples of symmetry in biology to the behavior of communities and the architectural structures that they build. In addition to the simple beauty of the mirrored combs, nest symmetry also helps the bee colonies adapt better. For example, two-sided nests grow more quickly, rear more brood, and have a more stable thermal environment than one-sided nests. Symmetry is visible in many organisms at several levels, from the molecular to the full body, but this is the first work to show architectural symmetry at this superorganism level. And now the sounds of extinction. The South China tiger is a population of the Panthera tigris tigris subspecies that is native to southern China. The population mainly inhabited the Fujian, Guangdong, Hunan, Shaanxi provinces. It has been listed as critically endangered on China's red list of vertebrates and is possibly extinct in the wild. Since no wild individual has been recorded since the late 80s, in the late 90s, continued survival was considered unlikely because of low prey density, widespread habitat degradation and fragmentation, and other environmental issues in China. In the fur trade, it used to be called Amoy tiger. The South China tiger is the smallest tiger in mainland Asia, but bigger than the Sumatran tiger. Females measure 87 to 94 inches and weigh 220 to 255 pounds. Males are a little bigger. In the early 50s, the South China tiger population was reported to number more than 4,000 individuals in the wild when it became the target of a large-scale government's anti-pest campaign promulgated by Mao Zedong's Great Leap Forward. The effects of uncontrolled hunting were compounded by extensive deforestation and probable reduction in available prey. The South Chinese tiger is born blind and separates from their mother at between 18 and 24 months. And here's the sound of the South China tiger. Thank you.
it's not just a matter of exposing the structures of power, but sort of exposing the structures of power in a way that itself embodies an alternative, sometimes called prefigurative politics. And that's very much a key part of direct action. So you're not only showing how undemocratic the structures that run the world are, but you're doing it in a way that provides a model of what democracy could be like. And one of the most incredibly inspiring things for me about taking part in these actions was the spokescouncils. Democratic process, it's a big word for anarchist process, because it's all about reinventing new forms of democracy. And if you sit in a room and you see there's 3,000 people collectively making a decision by consensus without any leadership structure, it just completely changes your idea of what's possible for human beings to do. So I think that's equally important to exposing structures of inequality and domination that you don't like in the world, to do it in a way that shows that they're not necessary, that there's other ways to go about things.
Is globalization a bad idea?
No. I think most anarchists are much more in favor of globalization than the people that they oppose. Than the people that they oppose. I don't think the IMF and the World Bank are particularly in favor of globalization in any meaningful sense of the term.
Yeah.
If you think that globalization is the effacement of borders and the free movement of people, possessions, and ideas, let's define it that way. Well,
good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. But, I mean, of course, anarchists are opposed to the very existence of international borders because we don't believe in nation states. At the same time, you know, if you look at what actually happens with globalization, first of all, free movement of people, it's not what it's about at all. I mean, the border guard between U.S. and Mexico has tripled since the signing of NAFTA. And because the way what they call globalization actually works, it's all about trapping people in places where you then remove social security,
right.
Creating people desperate enough to undersell each other, and allow corporations to move around to take advantage of them.
And Reverend again here, coming to the end here. Let's conclude. Let's thank each other for the work we've done. We've got some things to announce here. On the 17th, we are at 5 p.m. in the Earth Church on Avenue C. We will be celebrating the end of 2.5 years at the Earth Church. All good things must come to their final moments. So come and celebrate with us. What a time we've had in this super punk radical political community center of ours. And now we have our annual holiday run at the Public Theater at Joe's Pub. That's coming up December 1st, 8th, 15th, and 22nd. Come opening night on the 1st. It's going to be wild. Extinction, the musical, is the name of it. Extinction must be the wrong name, because extinction is how the Earth continues being alive, being the Earth. Donald Trump claims he's not the Earth. Well, even Donald Trump is the Earth. Extinction may have its way with Donald Trump, because extinction's about evolving what wants to live, what keeps going forward as life. All right. We will take the Earth. We will take the Earth and be with the Earth, be the Earth, evolve with the Earth. Somebody give me, you know what I'm about to say, Earth-a-lulia. Somebody help me now.